King David, yeah. Well, guess what? He was one too. Amen? Just like all the rest of us. So,
take your Bible, though, if you will, and we'll look at 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. And, of course, in chapter number 11, we saw the beginning of the situation, I guess you would say, that we saw the how this thing started with David and Bathsheba, and how that boiled down into a problem for both of them, and how that David tried to, at that time, make a cover for his sin. And I guess we could really say that he did. I mean, we saw how that David was pretty sly and thinking ahead and kind of conniving and deceitful in the way that things went. And we saw that, well, there he is. I mean, he's got stuff kind of figured out. He is the king. He's the man. He's got everything in place like he wants it. And it seems like maybe nobody is the wiser. I mean, it just, you know, everything's not exactly kosher, but in the idea that Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, he had him come home, and he couldn't get him to go down to the house and try to make this look like his child. So David said, well, I'll do the next best thing. I'll just have him go into the heat of the battle, let the rest of the army retreat from him, and he'll just die as a war hero. And then I'll marry his wife, everything will be great. But if you remember, in the very last verse of chapter number 27, it says, and when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her, Bathsheba, to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But that ain't the end. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Amen? All right, look in verse number 1 of chapter number 12. It says, and David, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the Lord. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will make thy wives before thine, or I will take thy wives before thine house, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for the good music and the good Spirit of God that we feel here. And I pray again, Lord, just be a blessing to people that need you tonight, wherever they are. Give them grace and mercy and give them a touch of God. Give them your help. We'll thank you for everything that you do. And I pray now, Lord, just be a blessing in this study and in this time. Help us to see, if nothing else, ourselves and how we stand before you. And again, we'll just thank you for everything you do. We praise you, give you glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to notice what we're going to call this. We're going to call this Truth and Consequences. You know, there used to be an old TV show that was called Truth or Consequences. Well, tonight David is finding about the truth and the consequences of all the things that he has gotten himself involved in. And as I say, you can see this, and you and I know what's happening with it, and we understand it. But the idea of understanding it is, this ought to be an object lesson for every one of us, right? It ought to be an object lesson for every one of us. So I want you to look at this tonight. We'll just talk about sin. You know, they just got through singing that song, I'm so glad God saves all sinners. Amen? And boy, when you listen to that, you hear them talking about, you know, the drunk on the street and the rich in their palaces. They all have a soul that needs to be saved. Amen? Everybody needs to be saved. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I don't care who you are. You can be David the king, and sin can still get in your life, and sin can do a number on any person in this building tonight. So let's look at it for a few minutes, if you will. Talk about, first of all, let's talk about sin, the uncovering of it. The uncovering of it. First of all, I want you to notice this. Time has passed. There has some time passed as all of these things begin to unfold. David has committed his sin with Bathsheba, and you know they find out in just a little while that she is expecting a child. We don't know exactly the time period exactly what that is. Doesn't matter. It's not going to be a very long while. Maybe a month, maybe two, whatever the situation is. She sends word to David and says, look, I am going to have a child. I have conceived, you and I have conceived a child in what happened between us. And now time has passed. And, you know, David's done the thing about having her husband killed, taking her for a wife, everything kind of rocking along. Time's moving on. And, you know, sometimes we get the idea that, boy, everything is just forgotten. Everything's behind us. Everything's forgotten. Amen? But listen, let me just tell you a little story real quick here. Somebody said this is kind of a test for us. Let me just tell you a story. You're a bus driver. You're driving a school bus, and a little red-headed girl gets on the school bus. She's red-headed. She goes back and sits in the school bus in the seats, and she red-headed. She gets out a green comb and begins to comb her hair. And about that time, the bus stops again, and a couple of more kids get on. And those kids look at the bus driver, and they say, boy, you know what? We like your blue hat. And they pull out a red comb and go sit down and begin to comb their black hair. And as they're sitting there, one of the kids gets up and goes and tells the bus driver and says, I bet you don't like that red-headed girl back there. And he looks at her and he says, well, why? And she said, because the color of her comb clashes with your hair. Now, what color is the bus driver's hair? Anybody know? Uh-uh. You forgot. You're the bus driver. No, you're the bus driver. You're driving, whatever color your hair is what color the hair is. I said, you're the bus guy. You're driving a bus. You know what? You forgot, didn't you? You forgot you. Well, that's exactly what's happened to David. He's tried to forget the whole incident. But guess what? God hadn't forgotten. God knows this whole incident that's right here before him. And you see the story. Time has passed. There's some time that's gone by. But during this time, God's been talking to his prophet by the name of Nathan. And you see that Nathan comes in to David, and he begins to tell him a little story, almost like the one that I told you. But I want you to notice what happened. Here's Nathan, and he said, David, I need to tell you a story. It ain't a story about a bus driver and a little red-headed girl, but it is a story about David, and he don't get it. He said there was a guy that was in a certain city. There's a guy that's rich, and he had all kinds of things. There's another guy that was poor. The guy that was rich, he said, man, he had everything. I mean, he had exceeding flocks and herds. He had all kinds of lambs and sheep, and he had, man, he had cows and camels, and he had everything. But the other poor guy, he just had one little bitty ewe lamb. Now, ewe lamb, most of you probably realize, is a female. And he said he bought that and he nursed it up, and it was just like one of his own family. He said it lay in his bosom. It was like a daughter to him. And then there came somebody from out of town, came to the rich man's house, and the rich man went over and took the poor man's only little lamb and decided he would take it and use it, dress it for the man that it come to him. Now, what do you think about that story, David? You see what happens? There's some thundering, and there's some provocation that comes out of that story. Look what it says. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. I mean, David got fired up at that story. He got mad. I mean, he said, who in the world would do such a thing as that? He said, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And I mean, about that time, Nathan cocked his arm back, took that finger, pointed it in his face, and he said, David, thou art the man. Wow. Right in the face. I mean, it got him, didn't it? David has heard from Nathan, but actually he's heard from God. And what he's heard is, as I say, there were some thunderings and provocation that came out of the mouth of David. But now there's some thunderings and provocation that came out of the mouth of Nathan because they came down from the throne room of God. God said, hey, you get mad about what happened. Let me tell you, it was you that did that very thing. I mean, listen. Hey, can I tell you, sometimes it will come back and slap you in the face. Whenever you and I get into some sin, some stupidity, and we think maybe we got it covered up, everybody's forgot about it, whatever, God can remind you of it every once in a while. He may send somebody, he may send something, or it just may be some situation that will come to you, and it will remind you of your sin. And that's what's happened to David. But I want you to notice this. Thankfully, we see that the truth has prevailed. I mean, we got the truth that has come out. Everything's out in the open now. And it says, Nathan said to David, there in verse number 7, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel. I've delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. And I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that been too little, I would have given you anything else that would have been right and that you needed. But what did you do? You took what you wanted. Ooh, the truth has come out. And I want to tell you something. The truth always prevails. I mean, as I say, here's David. He thinks, boy, got this thing all covered up. Nobody knows. Everything's calm. Everything's good. The rug's there. Everything's swept under it. But I want to tell you, truth has prevailed. Amen? And David's sin is now uncovered. Here it is. And look, God begins to talk to him. He says, look, wherefore, look there in verse number 9. He said, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart out of thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst this secretly, but I'll do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. God said, it's been brought out into the public, and I'm going to make sure what I do, everybody's going to see. Everybody's going to see it. Well, that's a pretty tough thing to hear, isn't it? That's pretty rough. But I want you to look at this. Let's look at sin. And let's talk about the covering of it. Look in there in verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Oh, my goodness gracious. Isn't that a horrible thing to think of? And to have every bit of it exposed and then realize, man, you have really messed up. I mean, I would hope that somewhere along the line, David had already had some twinges in his heart of his sin. Somewhere along the line, I just feel like being the man that he is, that he's had something come to him and he's just fought it and he's stood up in his pride and he stood up in his ego and he's just said, well, I just don't have to deal with it. But now, it's come home to roost. But aren't you glad of this? The realization of David. Realize this. Look what, and as soon as Nathan brings all this out and says this to him, look in verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I mean, don't you realize, there's a realization in the heart of David of, man, here it is. And it's out here now. It's wide open. And I've sinned against the Lord. Amen? You remember what the prodigal son said? The prodigal son, when he finally came to himself, and the prodigal son looks up from the hog pen, and he says, how many servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to fall on the mercy of my father and say, Father, if you'll just make me a hired servant, I'll be glad for that. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. Amen? I want you to know, David right now has come to this place where he realized, and you know what he does? He confesses it. I have sinned against the Lord. Just contrast that a little bit with when Saul, the first time, when Samuel comes to him and says, have you done everything the Lord said to him? Oh, you haven't done everything God said? He said, well, why am I hearing the bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? Well, let me tell you what we thought about that. No. He wasn't repentant. He wasn't hurt in his heart. He was trying to make excuses, just like we do many times. We try to excuse ourselves. We try to cover up. We try to make sure. But I want to tell you something, friend. God will pull the curtain back. And I'm telling you, you better be like David. You better learn the value of real repentance before God. He said, I have sinned. I mean, I believe he realized that. That's why we're told that David was a man after God's own heart. Because he said, I've sinned against the Lord. I know what I've done. Here it is. I mean, there's nothing I can say. I can't say, well, but. I can't say, well, see, you don't understand. I mean, there's nothing you can say. You're right in the middle of your sin. And, man, here it is. Everybody's got it, and we know what it is. Boy, that hurts your feelings, don't it? I mean, I'm sure it hurt David's feelings when you think about this. But, look, you got to confess. You got to repent as quickly as you can and realize that I believe it's this, that David has been showing grace. He's shown grace to Mephibosheth. He's shown grace to some other people. And now you know what? He needs to receive some grace. He needs to find some grace. He needs to know some grace. And isn't it great that God does that? Look what it says. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not. You remember what David said about the guy that did this? Kill him. He ought to die. And Nathan said, well, you're a little bit tougher on this thing than God's going to be on you. You're not going to die. But I want you to know there is forgiveness. We ought to take a lap around the house and say, thank God for forgiving us. Amen? Aren't y'all glad that, hey, they're singing that song, I'm so glad God saves old sinners. And the biggest surprise is that He'd save a sinner like me. Amen. Boy, David ought to have been shouting the victory and saying, can I just praise God for a little bit? He's forgiven me of my sin. I'm stinking, rotten, low down, dirty. I mean, that's me. But He forgave me. Forgave me of my sin. Amen. David had a realization, but thank God for the response of the Lord. The Lord said, I will forgive you. The Lord had put away thy sin. You remember, if you go back and read Psalm 51, where David goes over this whole episode, it's the psalm that he writes. He says, Lord, he said, you know, blot out my iniquities. He said, cleanse me on the inside of me. He said, don't take away all of these blessings and all this goodness. Oh, God, please don't. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I think old David's getting a calloused heart during this time. Now, listen, we talk about time passing. Can you realize that the time that has passed, I mean, obviously, it's been about 9 months, right? I mean, I'm a dummy, but I got that kind of figured out. I know that's how long it takes to have a baby generally. So you're talking about 9 months of time has gone by. And as I say, David's thinking, whoo, but God's been keeping a record the whole time. God's got the record books up. I don't care if it's been 9 months, 9 years, or 90 years. God still knows what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. And here's David. He has gotten the response of the Lord. And listen, just based upon that response and based upon his response to what he's heard, oh, man, I mean, he's blessed, right? He's blessed. So you see the response of the Lord. But I want you to see this. See the repercussions of David's sin. Let's see the repercussions of this. Look at this. I mean, what does the Bible say? Look in verse number 14. God says this. He said, I've forgiven you. Howbeit, you know, anyways, whatever, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Do you see that? Well, my sin ain't going to bother nobody, preacher. Nobody knows. Now, God knows about it, and you don't know sometimes who else does know about it. And when God pulls the covers off, I'm telling you, there's some folks out there somewhere that was laughing at David. There were some out there that was looking. They said, isn't that convenient? That lady right there seems to be bearing a child. And David went and married and her husband died. And there's some little hanky-panky going on somewhere. Amen? I mean, there's somebody. Hey, the world is a little bit smarter than me and you think they are. They know. They know. They know what's going on. They're keeping score. And look, you know what that did? God said, you gave an occasion, a great occasion, to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And listen, You and I can't do that. I mean, you got to prevent the blasphemy against the Lord's name. I mean, David gave him an occasion. You know what he's saying? Stay away from sin. You know better than that. Amen? Hey, let me just tell you, we're all like that. We're all like that. You know, we wonder and everybody does it. Well, look at them people. Them people are supposed to be Christians. Look at the way their kids are acting. Yeah, well, you know what the old Baptist excuse is? Somebody said, well, preacher, why are your kids to me? Because I have to play with deacon's kids. Amen. Well, and you know, that's what people say. I'm just telling you, hey, none of our kids are exempt from having issues and problems and being wrong. Amen. Well, let me just tell you here, you're giving somebody an occasion to say something negative about the Lord. About the Lord. I mean, they're looking, buddy, let me tell you, outside these doors, they're looking for any little crack to get in and say, aha, look at that, supposed to be Christian. I've heard people say it, and it just, you know, it upsets me. It hurts my heart. It is, and sometimes, you know, it's true. And sometimes it's one of them things the mamas and daddies couldn't do nothing about. But, you know, they're getting blamed. And especially the name of the Lord is getting blasphemed. Amen. I used to tell Brother Alvin a lot. I said, you remind them kids when they get on that van out there that van has got my name on it. It has got Old Bethel Baptist Church name on it. And more importantly than that, it's got the Lord's name on it. Amen. Anything that happens, and oh, did you see that crowd that come out of that church van? Well, look how they acted over at McDonald's. Look what they did. Look how they, and some of them said some things that was they shouldn't have been saying. You know, all that kind of stuff. People are looking, y'all. They're looking, and they're wanting something to pick at the church about. Amen. I mean, you're giving, and this is what the Lord is saying, because of what you've done, you've given occasion to the enemies of the Lord, the devil's crowd, to mock and blaspheme. As a matter of fact, I want you to notice what he says there, just a little more in depth. He said, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion. He said, it's because of what you did, David. Because of that. Because of you. Boy, wouldn't you hate for God to look at you one day and say, because of what you did, you hurt somebody's chance of getting saved, or you influenced them in a negative way, or you know, whatever it is. Because of you. I mean, that's what it says, isn't it? Because by this deed. Because of what you did. Wow, that ought to get our attention, make us learn that we need to stay away from sin. Amen. Let's look at one last thing, if you will. You see, sin the uncovering, sin the covering. But I want you to notice this, sin, the hovering of it. Now, you'll get what I'm talking about here in a minute. Sin, you can commit sin. You can be forgiven of sin. But let me tell you, sometimes the after effects, they hover and they linger around. I mean, let's look at David and see what's happened because of this sin. First of all, notice this. It is David's disdain for the Lord's word. Now, I didn't say this, but look in verse 9 and 10. Look what this is the Lord speaking to David through David. Wherefore hast thou, David, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? Well, you know, I really didn't think. Well, you better think about it. You have despised it. You know what that word despise means? It means to treat something as being worthless. He don't really mean that. You ever thought that about your mom and daddy when you was growing up? And they said, if you do thus and so, I'm going to wear you out. What do they know? They won't do anything to me. You ever been there? Me have. I've been there. And you know what I found out? Woo, Paul knew what he was talking about and meant what he said. Hey! And ain't nothing like hearing that belt slide through all them loops on off the pants, is it? And I mean, woo, here it comes. And you say, oh, you got to be, well, probably got less than I deserve, let me tell you that. And it wasn't a beating, but it sure was a reminder of you better listen to me and do right. Well, you know, I'm me, and I know me, and I'm okay. Yeah, right. Well, that's exactly what David, look at that. He said, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Look in verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house. Look, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. What does that mean? Really, also, despise means not only to treat it as something worthless, it means to not obey it. And again, that goes back to our little example with our parents. I don't have to listen to them. Amen? Well, I'm 18 years old. Whoop-dee-doo. Amen? I mean, I'm telling you, I know some folks, I know some young men, I know some good strapping size young men. They can still get a whooping when they're 18 from their daddy. Amen? I mean, I'm one of them. I've learned by then. I better listen. I'm telling y'all, I was headed out one day, and Daddy looked at me, and he said, about time for a haircut. I said, yep. Got out there, and I pee-diddled and fiddled around and done whatever I want to come home. And he said, I thought that I told you needed to get a haircut. Well, you know. He said, better be cut tomorrow. We're going to find out something's going to happen. You know what? It's cut tomorrow. Before I seen him again, it got cut. I'm just telling you, that's and there's nothing wrong with that, parents, let me tell you. Amen? It's okay. Well, I'm afraid. Yeah, don't be afraid of them. Let them get a little fear of you. See, that's what's wrong with us today. There is no fear. David needed some fear of God. Fear of God will keep, and I'm not talking about being scared to death, and I'm not talking about being frightened, terrorized, no. I'm talking about having a healthy respect for the things of God. And David had a disdain for the Word of God. That's what, there's nothing there but just what, he said, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? I mean, you weren't listening, David. I won't tell you, David was a well-versed and well-educated young man in the Word of God. There's no way he could have written the Psalms, no way that he could have done some of the things he did and said some of the things that he said that we've already read, unless he had a real good understanding of the Lord and who he was and what he was and you know, had a good relationship at some time with him. But now he's got to that little cocky attitude time. I don't need to listen to him. Yes, you do. At all times, you need to listen to him. Amen? I mean, he despised the Lord. But not only that, look at this. The Lord's decision for David. He said, wherefore hast thou despised the command of the Lord? Verse 9. To do evil in his sight. And then God reminds him what he did. I want to tell you something. Read this a little bit sometime when you got time. And I mean, I know we're doing it now. But when you go home, read it. Look what it says after he said to do evil in his sight in verse 9. Look what God said. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. Well, wait a minute, preacher. David didn't kill him. He just as well had. He just as well. He said, you've killed him. And you, look, you've taken his wife to be your wife. And you've slain him. Listen, you killed him with the sword of the children of Ammon. He said, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house. Because, listen, thou hast despised me. Look, and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. He's told him twice, you've taken another man's wife. Told him twice. Told him twice that he killed him with a sword. I mean, God's reminding him and said, look, I'm about to tell you something, but I'm going to tell you why I'm telling you this something. I mean, God's not playing and God's not cutting any words, not mentioning any words. I mean, he's just getting right to the heart of it. He said, here's what you've done. And because of that, here's what I'm going to do. I mean, God is making a decision. And you'll notice what he says here in verse number 10. Again, there's that little word. He said, now, therefore the sword shall never depart from my house. Look at this. Because, here's the reason. Because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And look at verse number 11. Thus saith the Lord, behold. Anytime you see the word behold in your Bible, it is almost as if it's the word behold with an exclamation. It means, hey, pay attention real close. Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them, and so on and so forth. I want you to notice something that I think is just amazing about this whole thing. If you look in this chapter, you'll never see the name of Bathsheba. You'll never see the name of Bathsheba. God is not going to name her. He's not going to, and you know, I don't quite understand that, but God is not going to name that woman. The wife. He said, let me remind you, it ain't Bathsheba, it's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Every time he refers to her, he'll say, that was that man's wife. It ain't Bathsheba. He said, you may have her for a while, but I'm going to tell you who she is. And if you look in the very first chapter of the book of Matthew, when it's given the genealogy of Jesus, and it talks about the women that are mentioned there, you know, there's like five women that are mentioned in that genealogy, and you won't read the name Bathsheba, but you will read that Solomon was born of her that had been the wife of Uriah the Hittite. God ain't going to say her name. He's not going to. I mean, you know, I don't know what exactly to make of that, but I can tell you this. God knows how to get every one of our attention, doesn't he? And I believe he's doing that. He's saying, look, this thing, I ain't playing with this thing. This is what, you know what we've done in our day? Used to, people talked about adultery. Well, them people are committing adultery. Now, you know what we say? They're having an affair. We try to make it romantic. We try to make it, oh, it's so secretive. And it's still sin. S-I-N, sin, wrong in the sight of God. And you can call it and dress it and do anything you want to with it, but it's still wrong. Amen? And I believe that's kind of the idea God's getting across. I want you to understand, this was another man's wife, not yours. And she had no right to be your wife. You had no right to take her. Woo, David is getting kind of tore up right here, ain't he? I mean, this is God's decision against him. So God says, look, there is a law that I want you to understand, David. Here's a law for you. You and I need to understand it. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Can I tell you, that is a universal, eternal law. Sowing and reaping. And look what he says. David, look in verse number 9 again. Wherefore hast thou despised the command of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with what? The sword. And thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife and hast slain him with what? The sword of the children of Ammon. Look down verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. Wow. Isn't that kind of a... Look at this last point in reference to that. David's destructive days that are ahead. You remember what God has told him? He said, because you've killed, you've murdered, you've used the sword and killed him. He said, the sword is never going to depart from your house. You remember later on, we've talked about this already a little bit. David wanted to build a house for God. God said, nope. Because God knew what kind of things were going to happen in the life of David. And he said, you're a man of the sword, and it just is not going to happen. No. You know, when you say, well, David really wanted to. David had the money. David had the ability. Maybe so, but God said, no. And see, you and I, as the old saying is, you can choose to do whatever you want to, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you've done. And that's what David is looking at here. I mean, David has done, if you'll think about this, David has committed one of these acts of infidelity, of adultery, and it's an impurity. It's an impurity in his life. And God is telling him that. This is the impure stuff that you've done. And he said, guess what? Your family is going to sow, you have sowed this impurity. Your family is going to reap this impurity. I mean, you think about this from some other people. About, you remember Jacob? What was Jacob? Jacob was the trickster. He was the deceiver. He was the deceptive guy. He deceived mom and daddy. He deceived everybody. He got around, tried to trick everybody, even his own brother. Everything he did was a big lie and deceit. Can I tell you this? Remember when he runs into his future father-in-law, Laban? What does he do to him? He said, I'll work for you if you'll give me that girl to marry. And he said, oh, sure, go ahead. Worked for him 7 years, and what did he do? Gave him a wife. The wrong one. Oh, well, you tricked me. Well, welcome to the club, buddy. You've been doing it all your life. You've sowed it, now you're reaping it. Can I tell you, that was Jacob. He is a liar, guess what? He got lied to. I'm just telling you, whatever you want to sow. You remember what Lot did? Lot looked and Lot lusted and Lot wanted that land over that. Oh, I got to have that. I got to go there. And the world pulled him in. Can I tell you, the world was his undoing. His two daughters commit incest with him, and they have children out of that relationship, and it turns into one of the biggest messes there is in the Bible. Whatever you sow, you better look out. You're going to reap it. I'm just telling you, here's David. Here's David. God says, whatever you're sowing, David, well, I'll get by with it. Listen to this. We'll close with this. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Do you realize what David said? In David's anger, in verse number 5, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man that Nathan's talking about. And he said, Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. You remember what Nathan said to him? Thou shalt not die. God's covered your sin. You're not going to die. But look what else he said. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Let me tell you. God said, okay, David, here's your fourfold back to you for this sin. First of all, David had a son that is here by Bathsheba, and what happens? The child dies. That's one. Number two, David had a son, his oldest son, named Amnon. Amnon, and we'll get into this probably later on, Amnon had this thing for his stepsister, Tamar, and he was just so tore up, he wanted her, and winds up raping her. And then Absalom, her brother, comes along and kills him. How did he do it? With a sword. And then a little bit later on, Absalom thinks he's something and somebody. And you know what happened to him? Joab killed him in his rebellion. And if you go read that, it's thrust him through with three darts in his heart. That's number three. And number four, after the death of David, David's son Adonijah wants to take over the throne. And Solomon has him killed. How? With a sword. So can I tell you, David said, this man's got to pay back fourfold. God said, okay, you said it, you're going to get it. And David wound up paying back fourfold. Can you imagine the sorrow that was in the life of David through all of these horrible things that happened? But I'm telling you, and I'm not saying, look, understand, God's not mean. God's not trying to say, well, payback. No, I'm just saying this. You're going to reap what you sow. And it's not on God. It's on us. And you and I need to pay very close attention. I mean, just think about this. Just one little lingering, lustful look by David brought about the chain of events that I just told you about. That all happened because David wouldn't go to battle, walked out on his porch, looked at that lady taking a bath, and said, I got to have her. I've got to. Oh, and you think sometimes, oh, my little sin, it couldn't amount to nothing. Look what it wound up doing in the life of David. Wow, isn't that amazing? But that's what, as the old timers used to say, sin take you further than you intended to go, cost you more than you intended to pay, and certainly keep you longer than you intended to stay. That's what sin do for you. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to...